In the name of the one who meets us in all the wildernesses of our lives. Amen. You guys did that really well. That's quite a parade to start out Lent. Lent, what a journey. What a trip of a lifetime. For years, our family has made the trip. We head north up the New York Turnpike. When you get outside of Rutland, Vermont, a little ways, you turn left onto Route 100 North. There's no sign over the road, but I always feel as though I'm breathing a big ha. It's a gateway of sorts. With the New York Turnpike and all the congestion and all the stresses of normal life behind and ahead, the mountains, the streams, the trails. It's as though I'm passing through a gateway. Diogenes Allen, who was my teacher at the school down the road many years ago, calls our gospel reading for this morning Jesus' time in the wilderness, his time of temptations, a gateway for the spiritual life. Dr. Allen used to say that within every human being there is a longing for that which is beyond ourselves, which is good and holy, that which is of God. The journey of life, the trip of life, the work of life is that spiritual life. And he says that as strange as it may sound, we have to go through temptations in order to decide what really matters to us. What is important? For what do we live and what can we turn our backs on? And so he calls this episode that Jesus had with the devil in the wilderness the gateway to eternal life. And the one other thing he points out is that while we have a literary story here, an amazing story depicted with Jesus in a wilderness with a character called Satan or the devil, the truth is that every day of our lives is like a wilderness where we will meet temptations and challenges and struggles, and that the devil is not some external character, but rather the reality of that which lives within each of us, saying, how will you be? To what will you give yourself? What truly matters? I was on the phone with my son Tom the other day. Tom is now singing, the Metropolitan Opera is doing The Damnation of Faust, which is, you know, the story of the guy who sells his soul. And I told him that I had just gotten tickets for Linda's birthday, which is this month, to the Broadway show Hadestown. And Tom replied, hey, that's the same thing as what we're singing at the Met right now. Not the exact same story, but the exact same theme. It's about the temptation to trade your soul for what you think you want. The temptation to trade your soul for what you think you want. The problem with that became very clear to me on a very simple level the other day when I was sitting on the floor at home with our new little puppy. We have a little Westie. And this new little Westie already knows that if I throw the ball, she'll chase it and she'll bring it back and she'll want to fight for a second, and then she'll let go so that I can throw it again and again and again and again. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, instead of chasing it as she has been doing these countless times, she'll just lie down as though to say to me, "Enough, Tim. I'm done. It doesn't interest me anymore." She's so smart, that little puppy. Because the same is true of all material things. We can spend our lives chasing things, exhausting ourselves over and over again, year in and year out, until finally I get this, but then ultimately we realize that no matter what it is, what it is, we tire of it. It just doesn't satisfy anymore. The spiritual gateway comes from freeing ourselves from caring so much about things. Oh, it's not to shun things or to give them all up or to act as though they're evil. Jesus realized that we all need our daily bread, and a part of following Jesus is often realizing what people in need need, what things they need, and are helping as the followers of Jesus to help them get those things. Not that there's anything wrong with the things themselves. The temptation, though, is to get so caught up with the chasing of things that we forget about God. We act as though God doesn't exist. Jesus knew that we are not only biological beings, but that we are spiritual beings, and we have this longing, as it has been said, our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you, O God. Keep God in the focus of all of our runnings, all of our chasings, all of the priorities, so that things don't become the priority of our life. The temptation to forget or ignore God and live as though God does not matter to us anymore. And the freedom of not letting things control us. Second temptation is no different. Jesus is brought to the top of the temple and invited to jump because if you are the Son of God, God will send angels to protect you. The temptation is a matter of how do we think of ourselves? Who am I? Is the age-long question of philosophy. Who am I? And I would add, whose am I? How do we think of ourselves? How do you think of yourself? Am I first and foremost the child of Chase Manhattan Bank or whoever holds my mortgage? Am I first and foremost? Do I belong to my employer? Am I first and foremost a citizen of the United States or some other nation of the world? Am I first and foremost a white male or a person of color or of some other gender? No. I am first and foremost that which was claimed at my baptism, a child of God, loved by God. When I was 17, I went away for 14 months as an exchange student, and I remember the very last thing my father said to me. I kind of expected a long speech when he told me to behave. You know, as a 17-year-old boy going out to live on my own. He did not say behave. He said, remember who you are. Oh, man. For that whole next year, all kinds of temptations came my way. And I kept that voice ringing in my head, remember who you are. You're a child of God. Remember whose you are. The gateway to the spiritual life is remember who and whose we are. And because we can be sure of that, we don't need to throw ourselves from temple tops or do any other crazy kind of thing in life. Or even to think that because we are the children of God, we are protected from harm or ill. The very cross itself at the center of our faith reminds us every single day that harm and bad things come to all God's children. Being a child of God will not keep you free from harm. That was the temptation of the soldiers and the thieves on either side of Jesus on the cross. They said to him, do you remember the same thing as Satan did in the wilderness to Jesus? If you are the Son of God, you don't have to put up with this. You don't have to be on that cross. Why don't you just get down from there? Live a life of ease and where nothing goes wrong. Wrong. All those things will come to the children of God. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong in your life. You will be hurt. You will be harmed. You will be ill. The story of the cross is not that you are kept from all these things, but rather that the God who made you and loves you will be with you everywhere, even on the cross of life. Through it all, no matter what it is, God gives you the strength and the ability to overcome all that is so wrong. This is our day-to-day freedom in Christ, not the delusion that if I follow God, nothing bad will happen to me. Rather, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Final temptation is to think that we're worth something because we've got something, or that it matters what people think of us because what? We've got a great college degree or a fancy business card or a big house or a beautiful body. Well, I've never had to worry about the beautiful body, but some people, that's a big deal. And equally, the opposite side of that coin is that that beggar down the street is worth less because she doesn't have as much money or prestige or looks in comparison to some others that makes him or her worth less. Today, TV shows eliminate contestants week by week to get to a winner. But in Christ, there is no elimination in the human family. Everybody is a winner. And that God has given you your worth. I met with our confirmation class last week and said one of the most crucial things about being an Episcopalian comes at our baptismal promises, where we say we will seek and serve Christ in all persons, working for the dignity of every human being. That's caused us as Episcopalians over the last several decades to pay a great price. Nothing like the price that Christ has paid for the sake of the world. But think, we were in our history as the ancient Church of England, we were involved in slave trade. We had to say that's a sin. And as Episcopalians, we had to get involved in the civil rights movement. We had to say that the way we treat women as being less than men is a sin. To say, God doesn't see someone's gender as defining worth. We had to say that people who love each other and are committed to each other, that does not matter what your gender or sexual orientation is, but that we care about the covenant relationship of love that we see in God toward the earth as being what we strive for in our relationships one with the other. These are the things that matter in worth that God gave you and no humanity can ever take away. This is what kept Nelson Mandela so spiritually healthy for those 27 years in Robben prison when humanity was doing its worst to crush his spirit. He would say, I'm free even when I'm in a human prison. That's a spiritual gateway to the freedom to which God calls each of us. The temptation is to forget the gateway to spiritual health is to see and treat each person in this world as God sees each one of us. So Lent begins. We're at the gateway of our lives. And remembering the temptations is to remember how we know God, who through it all comes, as those angels did to Jesus in the wilderness, to be with us, to care for us, frees us for full living. And so I invite you, sisters and brothers, to a holy Lent. Amen.